You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. We got the full squad here. Jesse, AJ, Megan, Rudo coming at you live as the Avs defeat the Minnesota Wild.
We're all sitting in different places.
6-3. We are
really
all swapped out.
It's unsettling.
Like, appropriate for this game, because what the hell?
Dude, that's why the headline for the post game was, it was chaotic. It was a weird win. It was a chaotic win.
A lot of nonsense. A lot of nonsense in this game.
Well, and also, this set is bigger now, so, like, you guys are further away
than I'm
used to.
Jesse feels like a mile away.
I know, I was going to say.
Yeah. Where's Jesse?
Hello! Hello!
I haven't seen him all night.
So, I mean, look. The majority of the Avs' goals were complete nonsense. Or certainly at least half. Which we'll get into.
Well, the first half of them were garbage.
All three of them.
You're like, what is this? And then goals 4 through 6 are sick?
4 was sick. 5 was sick. 6 was an empty netter.
It's a great shot from the opposing blue line.
I mean, it was nice, but...
it's good stuff.
Compared to goal 4, it was like...
This good stuff, man.
Is what it is.
I like the play Girard made before the shot.
Oh, my gosh. Great play.
Great play.
Oh, we didn't designate a 60-second
run. Yeah, I was
going to
say, did you guys sort this out?
No.
This is my first game in studio in like 4 months. I can't be expected to know that, even though we talk about it weekly and I'm always a part of the conversation.
It sounds like you're doing the 60-second rundown then. Great.
Bitch. All right. Give you a minute?
He needs a minute for a minute.
He needs a minute to set up the minute?
Yeah.
Brutal.
All
right, guys. Shut the fuck up.
We're live on the air. We can't shut up. If we shut up, it's just four assholes right, sitting here staring at each
just
other.
Just sit here for one minute. It'll be fine.
All right. Be cool.
Don't tell me what to do.
After you just told us all to shut up. After you just all gave us one very specific direction.
I never said
all right. Fair. Technically. For what? You said, wait a minute, and then now you're just saying, are you ready?
Yeah, for the minute. It's
your
up there.
It's all your right. minute now.
All right. Okay.
All right, 1, 2, 3.
Usually you go 3, 2, 1. All right, kind of an interesting game here.
This is not living up to the
start
minute
early.
Already.
A little bit of back and forth. Avs, I thought, pushed the pace a little bit better early on. Eric Johnson shot from out high, takes a weird tip off Ben Myers, off a Minnesota Wild defender, and in. Kirill Kaprizov comes back, scores... just minutes later, then another fortuitous bounce on the goal, but I just mentioned it. Sam Girard, a great play out high to get in low. Chipped a shot on. I'm going to have to speed this way
up. Yeah, you're way slow.
Get into the second period. Well, do we want quality here? Do we want to know what happened or do we want to be quick?
We'll get into the quality later. This is quick.
Second period, Avs really, I thought, kind of pushed the pace a little bit more. Extended to a two-goal lead, again, off some weird bounces. Kaprizov, again, comes back, shortens the lead up. Then the Avs started to kind of lock things down, continue to push the pace, added two more, Valachushka with an empty netter, and the Avs won 6-3. Eat shit, Yaya. I even had time to tell you to eat shit. How about that? Yeah.
Okay.
I think that counts, right?
You're in there.
Oh, yeah.
You're good.
That was a pretty vague translation of what happened.
I'll allow it, and we'll get into it more specifically.
We went from the Avs pushed the play in second period to 6-3 really quickly.
Well, I was going to say, look, for a game like that,
so did the game.
I was going to say, we need like a 3-minute rundown to accurately talk
through everything
that just
happened. You kind of skipped all the dope goals, but yeah.
That's what the show's for.
True, true. And look, let's take it from the top here because
actually,
honestly,
hold on, I'm going to stop on this 60-second thing. See, we talked about this when it was first pitched to us.
Yeah, so just go
seconds.
Over.
We were like, in a lot of Avs games, we need more than 60
seconds.
So just
go seconds. Over. No
There's
one's going to stop you.
Time.
I will stop him.
It never stopped.
What?
It never stopped me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Ain't that the truth?
I did want to wind it back to the first period here because arguably the Avs' worst period of the game, despite them coming out of it 2-1. Certainly the middle half portion of the period was just brutal for them. They
Thank
got
you, Henry.
Caved. They get a stupid lucky goal to go up 1-0.
The 1-0 goal?
The EJ Myers.
You like the hand eye from Myers as like a principal.
Sure, but it was directed dead sideways.
Yeah.
That was like the Nico Sturm goal
exactly.
all over again.
It was going like, 19 feet wide of the net, and
well,
then
he
hits something and goes
the first
in,
thing he
like,
did was look up into the mesh.
Yeah, he's like,
glass.
I must have.
Yeah.
Well, and like the wild response to it was like whichever defenseman was skating towards the net, he sees it go in and he just goes like that.
Yep.
And everybody was like, okay, like we were all sitting here like, cool. And then it was like, oh, it's a goal. And we're like, wait.
Yep.
How did this happen?
Very strange. And then the Avs almost immediately give it back on a delayed penalty scenario. Where
classic Minnesota scoring in a 6-on-5.
Yep. Typical stuff.
Tyson Jost picks up a point.
Gets the secondary assist.
Keeps the former Av revenge tour
alive?
Alive, yeah.
Sure.
That's a curse of the ex-Av. That falls into it, right?
It's on life support, but I guess it's alive.
Yeah, fuck. They kind of squashed that, huh?
And look, I mean, are we big mad about this goal, or is it you got beat by Kaprizov? And he's
I thought it was
good.
A nice passing play.
Yeah it's a great play between it was Addison, right?
Yeah.
And Kaprizov. And Kalen Addison, like, that's who he has been projected to be since his draft was good, solid, puck-moving defenseman. And you saw the creativity, you saw the work there, and that was a great two-man game. Kaprizov, you know, gets around the zone and outworks everybody and outplays everybody and keeps it in, drops it off to Addison, and then goes to space, and the Avs don't mark him properly. And look, like, the way that I always look at it is if the Avs scored that goal, how would I feel about it? And I would say that's great
the
offense.
The Avs are dope, yeah.
That's great offense. And just because it was the Wild, they got lucky.
Yep.
It was great offense. It really was great execution.
It was.
Yeah.
Going through the rest of that period, you know, I already kind of mentioned it. I think the Avs seriously got outshot like 10-1 through the middle section of that period.
Yeah, it was bad.
They really struggled to even possess the puck at all, to be honest with you. So, wasn't good, but they survived it. And then Philip Gustafson happened. And look, credit to Sam Girard, makes a great play to get the puck back on his stick. And then what? He throws a floater backhand towards the net?
Such a gentle.
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, when it went in, we were assuming it hit something because we were like, there's no way that he just vacated the net like that.
Was there a breeze in the arena?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, and Gustafson reacts like so aggressively.
Well, so that was my thing. Look, there was a few shows last year where we got into a little bit of back and forth because I'm not quite as big as Megan, but like a big defender of goalies. It's a very hard position. There's shots and pucks that look very routine that, you know, they're hard to track. So I like to give the benefit of the doubt to a goaltender on stuff. Like, there is no excuse for giving up that goal. That's on the ice. Yeah, even if it's bouncing, if your pad is sealed right, that puck should have hit his pad. Like you said, Rudo, it was such an aggressive overplay. Where it was just like, man, as someone who tries to make it seem like, you know, tries to bail out a goaltender anytime I can on. It's a lot harder than it looks. I can't figure out
what
he was doing on that one.
What he did was the true accomplishment. Making it look that bad.
Right. Yeah. Because, like, that really was, like I said, there's a lot where I say, like, ooh, but that's a bouncing puck. It's a rocking puck. It's whatever. That's coming through traffic. That is one where he got a clean look at it. And I don't even know if you can, like, call it a changeup. Geez, on the backhand.
Yeah.
Like, you're expecting that puck to not come with a lot of velocity.
I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously. It was genuinely one of those moments where you're like, this might be the worst goal of the year.
Well, it's almost.
It ended up not the worst goal of the game, but it was definitely like, it was that bad. Like, it was that bad.
You almost have to think that he, like, was tracking something else. Like, he thought a stick or something was the puck, because it was such an odd overplay.
So, I mean, great for Sam Girard. Had a great night on the whole. Certainly deserved some reward there,
yeah.
Regardless of if that goal was weak.
I'm a big, 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 big believer in you make your own bounces, and I thought he earned that one.
Yeah.
I mean, he puts a shot on net. It's not his fault the goalie doesn't get in front of
right,
it.
Right.
It's why I don't think of those as, like, lucky goals, because, like, that first
it
goal,
evens
it's
out
total
in the
luck,
end. Yeah.
Where you're just like, what the shit, dude?
Yeah.
But that second
getting
goal,
lucky,
like,
is different than the other team being terrible.
Exactly. The other team has an opportunity to execute, and they just don't. That first goal, nobody has a chance to do anything. It's a split-second tip off of a guy's face and flies over his shoulder and into the net. And you're like, you could not recreate that.
Yeah, yeah.
You could stand there and practice all day and not come close to doing that.
Well, because, to tip it towards yourself without hitting yourself.
Yeah.
And then to have it take the right angle to...
Yeah, to then just, like, float over the goaltender where he doesn't see it.
Right, right.
He's and then it goes in. Like, it's like an all-time goofy bounce.
Right. But the Girard one, it's like...
Your goalie just doesn't get in front of the puck.
You got into a shooting lane. You took a shot. It wasn't a great shot, but it went in. That's why every coach from the history of time has told you, when in doubt, put the puck on net.
It's never a bad play to just put the puck on net.
Right.
I wanted to stick with the defense a little bit here. I watched the game upstairs on the watch-along. You guys were down here. What did you guys think of Bowen Byram's game tonight?
I loved his back checking, which is a weird thing to say for a defenseman.
I love the defensive part of his game.
Megan?
I don't have a lot to say about Byram's game tonight.
He was out there on that line that got caught in their own end for extended shifts multiple times.
Right. It was like the Sedlak crew on the ice for the forward group, and then that deep
and then
pair had Byram.
And honestly, Manson, who I actually like a lot of spurts of Manson's game,
for
but he was out there getting hemmed in.
They were definitely under duress at points, now that you mention it.
So I wanted to talk about him because there were two major shifts that stood out to me. One, when he straight bodies Kaprizov in the defensive zone for a shift, just works him twice, and they get out clean against the one line you're actually scared of.
He had a great seal on Kaprizov on the wall, too.
Yep. And then two, in the same shift, he had two A-plus opportunities that he doesn't finish. One on the back door, and one on essentially a 2-on-0 with Logan O'Connor.
Yeah.
I just... Dookie Shoes is the greatest username of all time. Sorry. I just... Tom Segura is maybe my favorite stand-up comedian, and that is a... That is perfect. Sorry. I don't
mean
to derail us.
This game was
so good.
This game was pretty Dookie Shoes. I'm not going to lie to you. This game felt like Dookie Shoes.
I want to see Byram start to capitalize on this.
Right.
If we were just looking at this season, you're like, it's game three.
Sure.
Anybody that is drawing strong, hard conclusions after three games is a moron.
It's nonsense.
It's just fucking stupid. But... Going back to the postseason that he had, he's involved in everything, but it's like, you've got to start breaking through here. You have to start to produce here. And I'm not going to be upset.
Sure.
You know, like,
of course,
that he continues to be involved in these things. But, like, when you have a clean breakaway and you have Philip Gustafson, who looks like he's playing Ole with the puck, and you don't even, like, make him really, like, work for that one. It's just like, dang. Like, You really just, I want to see him start to convert. Because he keeps getting involved in so many good opportunities. I want to see some conversion. But the defensive end continues to look just like what we thought it would look like. It looks good.
Yep. So, great news there. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNBR. You can get plenty down here at the bar, or, of course, at your local liquor store, where you can use the Breck Beer Locator online at breckbrew.com to find some Breck Brew near you. Go check them out. They're genuinely awesome. We love them. There's some of their beer right there, if you want. Highly recommend you check them out. They have dozens of flavors, some for everybody. Also brought to you by Game Time. You can go down into the description of this video. There is a link to go get Game Time tickets today. When you use the link, it helps us out a little bit. And on Game Time, you can also get tickets for up to 60% less than anywhere else.
Buddy, so, you're in the wrong chat.
Go ahead. Who? Who's mad?
The guy that keeps talking about Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Wrong chat, bro.
Yeah, that'll be the Broncos show in like 30 minutes.
Yep. Once their game's over, which it's like over right now, I guess. I don't know. I can't see.
There's like 2 minutes left.
It's going to OT. There is no seconds left.
Yeah. Wow, they let the clock run out on that.
Oh. Great.
Anyway. Game time. If you want Broncos tickets, you can get those too. They're super great.
Point being, it's going to be a while till the Broncos.
You can download their app as well. If enough of you use our link in the description, we'll get a little code for you.
Our show,
highly recommend.
All right, let's all take a break and go tell the Broncos guys what.
Come on up.
What our homie here has to say.
Okay. Come do the show in the middle of overtime of the Broncos game. Anyway, Game Time, check it out. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Megan, you've been elected goalie person. I want to get your guys' thoughts on Georgiev tonight.
You've been elected.
Or should I say,
director?
Elected of goalie scouting and special.
No, goalie development and special projects.
Is that
special
what it is?
Projects.
Was Georgiev a special product tonight, or was he just an average product?
If it's like a project, I think he is a special project because there's a lot to build on in this game, but I actually did like his performance, and I feel like maybe there's room for conversation on some of how those goals happened, but then there's another couple that are weird bounces. Just honestly, the puck touches in general were a little bit weird tonight. There's some things that he did that I didn't quite have an answer for. Leaving the net, handling.
Right? It was the one where he gets beat when they're on the power play and they just get lucky that they don't give up a shorthanded goal. Why are you so aggressive there, dude?
He was fully outside.
What in the world are you doing? But other than that,
Well, and he came up in the third huge.
Third period, yeah.
EJ owes him about
of like four, 12 five saves,
stakes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at it, like he gives up the one-timer from Kaprizov to start. I'm saying it's far enough out. It's not unreasonable to say he could have stopped that, but you're also like, if you're giving up one-time goals to Kaprizov in that situation, okay. But the other ones, really, like
redirects and off a skate sideways.
It's a perfect redirect from Eriksson Ek.
And both of those.
Why the hell is that guy wide open?
Can we talk about the penalty kill? Because that
we're getting there. And then
we're getting there soon.
And then the third one is the one off of Taves' skate.
Yep.
And in between all of that, like he doesn't give up any true 5-on-5 goals. What are we asking for here?
Hard to ask for more than that.
Yeah, like what are we asking for?
Certainly better than the dude on the other end of the ice.
He absolutely. Yes, he definitely outplayed Gustafson.
So let's get into that. You had Georgiev play well. He had some moments where he bailed the Avs out.
Right.
On the one full penalty kill the Avs had, he made multiple good saves.
Yeah.
And then you have a disaster couple of penalty kills where the Avs, who are already the worst PK in the league, give up two more. And I know it's game three. Don't read too much into the stats. I know. Yeah.
So I want to pause here for a couple of reasons. One.
Is this where you tell us how hard it is to be on a PK?
No.
Because if it is, I'm vetoing this conversation.
No, 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 no. The opposite. The exact opposite. The first two games of the season, they gave up PK goals in back-to-back games on really kind of bad breakdowns.
Yeah,
true.
And what was concerning about the breakdowns
in front of the net
was it was two defensemen who were here last year, and then in those two particular cases, it was Logan O'Connor, who was like a PK specialist for them. So you had three players who should be very familiar with this system have bad breakdowns. And we asked Jared Bednar about it, and he said, you know, we're working through things. We're getting back up to speed. We're getting back into, you know, our rhythm and everything like that. So we expect some breakdowns. We don't want to see it from guys that have been here. We expect it from guys who are new to the system, but, you know, we're working through it.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. You're working through it. Then, just a couple days later, I overheard a conversation between an Avs power play player and Nolan Pratt, the Avs penalty kill coach. Right? It's Pratt, right? It's Pratter?
Yep, it's Pratt.
And the player told him, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be poking holes in your penalty kill. And Pratt said, no, this is the stuff that we need to look at. And they were walking back towards what I'm assuming is a video room. So I put together the thing that Jared Bednar said after the first couple games, and Cale Makar actually made an interesting point as well. He said, when you look at it, in those two games, we've given up five shorthanded shots. Just so happened to be that we had a couple bad breakdowns that led to goals.
Those shots were A++.
Right. So you said they're like, okay, Cale kind of paints it as the penalty kills weren't that bad. We just had bad breakdowns. Jared paints it as, you know, we had a couple guys, again, breakdowns that we need to clean up. We need to get back in the rhythm. We hear them. I hear them talking about, hey, here's how we can fix it. Someone that's on the power play says, I'm seeing this hole. And then to see the product that we got on the ice tonight in terms of penalty kill, AJ and I were laughing at one point. There wasn't just lanes open. Yeah. There was, I mean,
it was an ocean of space.
Right. Like, there was a full metropolitan, like roadway paved in the middle of the ice where the guy, they were just so spread out, so aggressive to the walls. You know, it's a nice tip by Eriksson Ek, but there's nobody within
seven feet
of him. And, oh, by the way, he had just kind of danced in the middle by himself without anyone coming near him for about 10 seconds before that. And then the shot from the point comes from someone whose feet are planted. Yeah. They're standing still. They had time to catch the puck, turn, load up, and take a shot.
So you're not guarding the point. You're not guarding the middle of the ice.
Right. And like I said, just after a lot of the emphasis on talking about penalty kill, and it's obvious they've done film on it, and I thought this was the worst the PK had looked in these first three games. And again, you're not going to make hard conclusions from it, but that looked like tonight, in my opinion, a PK that looked a little lost. Combine that with the two breakdowns that we saw in the first couple games. No. What's the disconnect here?
Yeah, it looks bad, man. It looks lost.
Yeah, lost. Lost is, I think, the best way to put it.
It really looks just like a unit that's trying to figure it all out, like right. All of it from the ground up. It looks really bad right now. And for the record, these are the units that start out bad at the start of the year.
Right.
It's defenses, it's penalty kills. Those are bad at the start of the year. Those are things that rely on a lot of trust and communication and...
Well, but again, the thing that's weird, kind of like what you said, and then like jokingly the exact opposite, like... A penalty kill that you're lost on should be relatively easy to figure out. Hey, kind of settle back, active sticks in lanes.
Yeah.
Like, we're not really sure.
Not full send it.
Right. We're not really sure what we're doing. Give him the perimeter. Let him shoot from out high. Trust your goalie. Get in lanes. Like, that was, Rudo, you said, like, you weren't covering the point. You weren't covering the middle.
What are you covering?
They were passing lanes all over the place. Like, cross-eyed seams all over the place. It was just like I couldn't really figure out which part of the ice they were boxing out.
Megan, you look like you wanted to add something there. Are you good?
It wasn't anything huge. It just felt like they were a little too forced and not trusting their instinct, and that's why it did seem like they were moving themselves out to the perimeter and leaving that slot right open. It just generally.
And they're once again running a setup where they're letting their Ds release. Especially when Sedlak is out there, you will regularly see Sedlak slide back into the defensive spot And all of a sudden, you have Cale Makar in the top of the zone on your penalty kill, and they still have the puck. The other team still has the puck. And Sedlak is just kind of floundering back there. Like, he's in his position, but he doesn't feel comfortable there.
Are you talking about on the penalty kill?
Yeah,
just,
okay. Yeah, on the penalty kill. It happens in 5-on-5, too, but, you know, it's a little more fluid at that point. I just find it weird that the Avs have so actively allowed their defensemen to fly on the PK, and it gets so messy so quick for them down low.
Right. And again, that was the thing that was kind of the biggest takeaway from that for me, was how messy it was. And again, like, if you're discombobulated, if you're confused, that should actually be the simplest situation to, like, get back to a home base. So yep. If you have to collapse and just, you know, return, just kind of play a box, yeah. Yep. Sure. They were just all over the place.
All right. Moving on to the next part of penalties that we're going to talk about here. Second period. Logan O'Connor goes by the Minnesota bench.
Doesn't do anything.
They just straight up steal his stick. And then, like, yeah, Logan O'Connor gives him a shove after they won't give him his stick back while he's actively out on the ice.
Yeah, I don't get how that's not an automatic whistle, 2 minutes for interference, power play.
If you interfere intentionally when you're off the ice, you should be tossed immediately. Yeah. Should be no questions asked. Just you can't do that.
Toss him.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
Immediately.
Are you saying toss him from the game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, remove him from the game.
Seriously, just give him a 5 and a 10 and be done with it. Be like, hey, you're not on the playing surface.
Yeah.
This is an IQ test that you have failed. If you can't resist the urge to grab a player's stick as he skates by, you don't get to play in the rest of the game.
See, I feel like I'd like a 2 and a 10. Get the power play and then make him sit for 10. I mean, I'm fine with a game. Okay. That's cool.
I get there's going to be scenarios where it's like, oh, you know, a stick went in there and weird stuff happened, and that's fine. But if it's as blatant as it was today,
right,
you have to throw him out of the game.
Yeah.
He's clearly just cheating.
No, because, like, I don't fully know if I'd be in for a toss, but I don't think a 10-minute is, like, I don't think that's that crazy because, yeah, you're not. That's beyond interference. That's not too many men. Like, you're having an impact on the play from the bench.
Yep.
And that's not allowed anywhere.
Yep. You're just not allowed to do that. It is what it is. They give Logan O'Connor 2 minutes because the refs are cowards.
Yeah, I don't understand what he does to deserve the 2 minutes.
I honestly feel like there is something that I missed, because in addition to what happened with OC and Hartman, Duhaime was on the bench mouthing "what the F" to the official coming over to assess what had happened. And he was furious. I couldn't read what had happened. So I feel like there's one small thing that I missed. I still feel like it wasn't assessed very well, but it does seem like there's one missing detail.
I think the missing detail is the Wild played scummy all night and tried to get away.
That was scummy because there were later shenanigans.
Yeah, exactly.
Too, and I was
exactly
kind of waiting for this after what we saw from the series last year with Greenway.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Even LLC, though,
LLC throwing a punch at a guy on the bench after they took his stick and won't give it back not justification for a 2-minute penalty, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I just didn't know what happened before it. On it, like,
yeah, totally.
Well, no. There's a comment. That's what he was referring. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, because I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like, that's one where
I would have liked to have seen longer them go a little further back to see what might have led up to it.
No, they showed a reverse angle. I saw it clear as day. It was him and Marcus Foligno got tied up while they were both on the ice.
And then Foligno goes into the bench,
skated away with his stick. He took his stick out of his hand.
Skates it to the bench, and then Hartman's like, "I'm not giving it back to you." Right?
So,
like, that's what happened.
That's holding the stick. That's interference. That's holding. And I know there is some type of infraction for, like, interfering with the play from the bench. I know there is some.
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be a major.
Special name for it. And so it's like, again, even if you want to give LOC 2 there, how do you not give
an extra one to Minnesota?
An extra 2 to the Wild.
For sure. Colorado does nothing truly wrong in this situation.
Yep.
And walk out of it with a 4-on-4.
And now, the 4-on-4 worked out because Philip Gustafson felt unbelievably generous to give Mikko Rantanen a free goal.
Vesa Toskala somewhere is just like, See? Bouncing pucks are hard, guys.
I'll say credit to Nate. We were talking about it during credit to Nate. That's a nice, that's a great dump in.
Like, that's why you want to dump it in on net. If he stops it and he covers it, you have an ozone face-off. If he doesn't and it bounces,
you get a
freebie. Like, okay, great.
Yeah, no, so credit to Nate for chipping that one in. And then, hey, Miko went to the net, hit that anytime goal score, plus 130.
The look on my face when I realized it was Miko getting the freest of free goals, I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, Gustafsson, that's on him. It's a gift for Rantanen, and no, and he took it. And that's, and again, sign of a good team. You make a mistake,
they
we'll
punish.
Take it.
Yep.
We'll take it every
100%.
Time.
100%. How many games where that dude isn't pushing for the net? Does that bounce mean nothing?
Right, and he just
slides back across. But in this case, it ends up giving the Avs the one goal lead in the second period, which I don't. How did you guys feel the Avs played after the first?
Really loose defensively.
Okay.
And really, like, not. It wasn't dominant. Wasn't great, wasn't exceptional or anything. I just thought it was a good game back and forth, man. I thought it was solid. Unspectacular, but solid.
Okay. I'm comfortable with that. In a game where I felt like the Avs played well enough to win, it felt more like the Wild beat themselves to me.
I mean, it felt like Gustafsson beat the Wild.
Yeah, sure.
And then Eriksson Ek,
made
another choice.
Did he play after that? Did anybody notice?
Probably.
I was going to say, they don't really have many other options. But, like, honestly, man, I made the comment to them, Rudo, like, that to me was a penalty on par with the Quinn Hughes penalty last year.
Yep.
Where it was just like, he went out there and you saw it 20 seconds before.
He
was
going to
do
coming.
Something dumb. Yeah. And sure enough, he goes behind the net, gets knocked down by Cale Makar, gets real pissed and gets his stick right in his face. It's like, yep, cool. And then it's a Cale Makar shot tipped by Nathan MacKinnon for the goal that put it away. And like I said to these guys, and I don't know, maybe you guys feel different, but like, to me, if I'm Dean Evason in that situation, to prove a point, you're down by two now. There's 4 minutes left. Seat at the end of the bench, bud.
You've lost three games in a row. You've given up 7, 7, and 6 goals. The only thing I'm doing is Dean Evason is sweating heavily right now. Look.
He's trying to figure out if instead of an extra forward, if he can put two goalies in there.
Yeah, he's strapping on some hats. Yeah. Maybe,
like,
I can.
Well, and
that extra, that too many men penalty that
they took. That's
another
Minnesota
moronic
has
penalty.
Minnesota has a power play coming to potentially get back into
this
the game.
So funny.
Yeah.
And they just send a sixth dude out.
Yeah.
Like, just not even, it's not like it was a bad change. No, they just sent a sixth dude after the fact. Just
hilariously
crazy.
Like, goes to show you, like, how teams do not practice, do not live in 4-on-4.
Yeah, right.
Because
they counted 5 and said, wait, we should have 6.
Yeah, they were like, oh, the goalie's pulled. Oh, shit, I need to be out there. Yeah. And you could see the entire team.
Yeah.
As
angrily.
Soon as the penalty got called.
We're like, what?
Pointed at the net, and we're like, it's an empty net. And the ref's like, it's 4-on-4. You don't get 6.
You only get 1 extra skater when you
pull
the
goalie. Lots of failed IQ tests.
Quite a
tonight.
Few.
Like,
quite a few.
Like, Minnesota did everything they could to just kind of hand that over to them.
On that note.
Yeah, natural transition.
Look, go hand yourself a subscription to Evoca TV. Look, $25 a month, you get the Avs. You don't have to go through all this nonsense about a VPN or, you know, whatever website you used. Rest in peace, NHL 66. You will be missed.
What? What's that?
Never heard of it.
I had someone tell me just a couple nights ago that it was back.
You need a VPN to use it, though.
Mm. Yeah.
Skip all that and get Evoca TV for $25 a month. Has Altitude. Has AT&T Sportsnet. Has the national channels, so you can lose your mind like all these Broncos fans tonight. And the Serbia documentary is getting ready. Getting ready to drop.
Sick.
Exclusively on the DNVR channel on Evoca, which they have, by the way. You can watch the game and then flip it to the DNVR channel to check us out. So not too shabby. Check them out today. Again, just $25 a month. Go to evoca.tv/DNVR. That's evoca.tv/DNVR. Also brought to you by the American Raptors. You can go catch some rugby down at Infinity Park in Glendale. The thing I hate about football is how slow it is.
I don't like the stoppage in play. I'm sorry.
It's just true. And rugby doesn't have that. Rugby just goes. They just go. And that's how it is. So it's like football, but fast. Highly recommend you check it out. You can go to AmericanRaptors.com and get tickets for completely free. Check it out. You can also stream their games on AmericanRaptors.com. Check out the DNVR rugby account on Twitter. Colton Strickler is our dude. He's amazing work there. Even if you're new to the sport, he has 101 pods to keep you covered. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast.
Appreciate the love.
It's an adventure down there for the Broncos. I want to get to the best goal of the game. Josh Manson, destroyer of worlds?
Well, I mean, he like smokes Kaprizov out of the corner.
Yeah, just toasts him.
Yeah, and then a perfect backhand. Like
top shelf, easy life.
It went in and I was like, was that so sick or did that hit something? And then they show the replay and it was like
so sick?
No, it was just that sick.
Josh Hansen.
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
No, this is getting so sorry. Down here.
Does he have Hansen hair? Is it Hansen hair? I don't know.
Honestly, a little bit.
It's kind of. If he doesn't like let it flow out, he needs to keep it a little bit controlled.
Right. All right.
I'm here for the Josh Hansen take.
I'm all about it.
Or he could be Charles Manson too.
No,
murdered the goalie. I don't know.
He's such a punishing player too. I was like, is this the new Dad Sheen? Or
I'm here for it.
It's just always
well.
Like
and
that.
But you're right. Look at games one and two. His main stunning point was up the right boards, just slamming people again, again, again. And then he busts that out, and it's like, yeah, it turns out I could play offense too.
What's been fun about Manson in Colorado, and we've made this point several times since he got here, it's just that I don't know if he is discovering this about himself or what, but just that there is a different style of player in there than what he was in Anaheim. Like, I think back to that trade deadline day, and I don't remember who it was that we had on that covered the Ducks. But, you know, talked a lot about, like, you're not going to get any offense. He's going to be kind of a punishing player. He can chip in occasionally with a big shot from out high. And that has not at all been the Josh Manson
for a guy that spent most of his career playing next to Cam Fowler and Hampus Lindholm. You know, like, guys who could move pucks. You know, Anaheim's always had pretty good puck movers, and so they just never asked that of him.
Yeah.
And then he got to Colorado, and they were like, look, we want all of our defensemen to at least
be capable.
Feel free to do this, you know? Like, Jack Johnson was like, I'm good, actually. Well, no mistakes here,
after
right?
After that first game, he was like, everybody gets one.
Yeah, well, and, like, it took two dudes running into each other, and he's, like, randomly in the middle of the ice by himself, like, all right, here we go.
At morning skate day, I think Peter asked him about the goal last year. He's like, hey, look, if you're only going to get one, it's got to be a nice one, right? Yeah. And I was like, good for you. Good for you.
But no, I mean, with Manson, it's like this was kind of the conversation coming into the year, because it's a great play, it's a sick play. We noticed him in the second half of the game a lot more than the first half of the game, and then you get to the end of the night and you go and you look, and analytically he gets bodied. He gets doubled up in shot attempts. He's on the negative in scoring chances. He's on the negative in high danger chances. All that's bad. But it's like,
but
hey,
sometimes it don't matter.
If that part of the ice is not going to go great, then make a play on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And the game-winning goal certainly counts.
Yeah.
I still stand by my Zadorov take. The fact that you guys got so upset about that says a lot more about you than the take itself.
Well, and my other thing, too, with Manson is he's a better skater than I thought he was. He's just...
Yeah,
and
it's fine.
I think he... Right. He's fine, but I thought he was a lot...
You don't notice it as a major liability.
I thought he was a lot clunkier when he got here, and I also just think he's a great example of... They said, this guy does things that we like, he does things we don't have, and he can skate enough that, I mean, pretty much going forward, he'll be with either Gerard or Byram. And that's the type of player that allows him to try some things, to do things that he couldn't do maybe in Anaheim when they needed him to be full shut down. You have to be the safety net. Having a guy that can skate as well as Gerard and is good defensively, having a guy that can skate as well as Byram and is good defensively, it allows Manson to free up a little bit, and I think that's part of what makes this talented decor on paper that much more lethal, is that it's just a really great mix. They found for the first time in a long, good mix of players and guys that play well with each other, and it's fun to see a guy like Manson benefit from that so much.
Getting into the rest of the game, we talked about the redirect off Taze's skate leading to a goal to make it 4-3. And then you get to what we talked about earlier. Look, punish mistakes.
Yeah.
Minnesota should have tied this game 4-4 on a shorthanded goal.
Yeah.
They absolutely should have.
Well, and this is the conversation that we had again in the Calgary game. Mikko Rantanen misses an empty net.
Yep.
That 2-1, you know, that 2-1 game, it goes from 2-2. What should have been 2-2 to 3-1, and the game goes how it goes. In the same way that this should have been, this is 4-3, it should have been 4-4, turns 5-3.
Yep.
And that's it. Like, you don't capitalize. The turnaround was immediate,
right?
You don't capitalize on your chances in the NHL. Yep. You lose games.
And so we talk about it with, you know, elite teams, Stanley Cup teams, however you want to describe that kind of tier. And what's the one thing, the phrase that we use a lot? These guys don't beat themselves. And the Avs have really, over the last year to 2 years, settled into that. They're not going to beat themselves. And if you are going to make mistakes, they will take advantage of it. And they're not going to give you as many back. And I thought this was the penalty and then the subsequent miss on the shorthanded, I thought, were just great examples of that, where you had a chance.
They beat themselves.
You missed it. They're going to go for the throat.
And look at the turnaround. The mistake leading to the 2-on-1, Kale flubs a puck and then kind of gets beat on the way back. They come down, and it's Kale's shot
to a
McKinnon tip to get the goal and put the game out of reach.
Right.
You don't kill these guys, they will kill you.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great way of putting it.
So, don't miss. And look, that's what you expect out of your best players, right? When it's important, they get the job done.
Yep.
Took a little bit of a windy road to get there. They got there.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what we talked about in the pregame, too, is to apply pressure for the entirety of the game at different points, and it's what the Avs do best. They could just be really selective about when they decide to do that, and it's not always apparent to viewers how they are making those decisions. Like, you know, the first into the second period, which one was better, or, you know, the pace of the game. I honestly thought there were parts of the first and second that were better and worse than the other. I generally thought that the second period they began to apply more pressure, but they were also making pretty poor mistakes too.
For sure.
And that's just kind of the Colorado Avalanche story, especially in these early games where they're still figuring things out, like the penalty kill.
Well, and that's... This is...
I can't keep doing this mic thing. I'm so sorry.
Going
so distracting.
And you look casual, too. That's what I like about that stance, yeah.
Going back to Jesse's championship tier teams, or whatever you want to call it.
That's hilarious.
What happened in this game? The Colorado Avalanche never trailed.
Yeah.
The whole game. It was tied a couple times. Well, 0-0 and 1-1.
Yeah.
And they never trailed. And when you're leading... Those mistakes are still bad, but it's not game-shattering mistakes.
Right.
It's, okay, now it's a tie game, or okay, now we're only up by one. And that's fine.
Well, and there is a mindset shift to... I mentioned it to AJ, and like, I don't want to get too carried away with a game, the third or fourth game of the season for the Maple Leafs. But I don't know if you were seeing what was happening in the Maple Leafs.
Chat was all about it.
Yeah, so, but they were showing down the bench... And I said to AJ, I said, see, look at their faces. I said, they already look like they lost. They already look like they're expecting the goal to come back and the game's over. And to your point, Rudo, like, the Avs, it took them a minute to stretch beyond the one-goal lead. And when they did, every time Minnesota cut it back, what's just become impressive about this team, and maybe this is just a symptom of what we were talking about, where when you win a championship that next season, you're like, eh. But, like, they didn't look like they were concerned at all.
Well, this is the same thing that we saw last year from them, where it didn't matter the situation that the Avalanche were in. They were just comfortable.
Yep. Yeah.
They were just going to keep playing. And they just believed. They were like, we're just better than everybody. And if you give us 60 minutes, we'll find a way.
For as silly as the Girard goal was, the Avs get caved for 10 minutes straight. And then Girard comes down, makes one good play, and they score. And the reaction for the Avs is, whoa, yes, that's unbelievable. I can't believe we did that. It's, yeah, we're that good.
We expected that. Yeah. We expected to come down to tie us up. And I don't remember if it was on our show, if it was just a conversation I was having. But it's one of the things I love about the Jared Bednar's approach to the game. It's we play in five-minute chunks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we win this 5 minutes? No? Cool. We'll win the next five.
Well, and we never looking back, never letting things that have happened.
Yep.
Because even when you go back to the Stanley Cup final, you watch how the Lightning, they were so upset about stuff that was done and over with that they were focused still on that. And then another thing would happen to them, and then they were upset about that.
Right.
And this they never got back into the mindset of, all right, we just need to get back to work and focus on what is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the Avs, at least on the mental side of things, have been so good.
Yeah.
They just live in that moment that they're in. Was this good enough? No. But we got away with it. You know, hey, they outplayed us for 10 straight minutes in the first period. It's only 1-1. It's on them for not making it worse.
Right, right, right.
Now it's our turn. And then they got to work. And as soon as they get to work, man, they just beat teams.
Are we about to create another Megan corner? For like Megan's mentality, is that where this is going? Looked like you wanted to jump in there.
I was just gonna say the Nathan MacKinnon goal is a reflection of this. It's a moment where the play before is not good, and instead of allowing that to affect the momentum, they reset and then they capitalize on the power play as they should.
And for someone like MacKinnon specifically, how many times have you seen a play not go MacKinnon's way and his body language immediately goes, ugh?
Right.
Instead, they come back and score after a disaster of a play.
Yeah.
And then to your point about like the Girard goal, like that's a nice tip. And, you know, again, it's just the look on like their body language for Alma is like, okay, cool. Wow. That would have been a disappointment had we not done that. That was what we were expecting of ourselves.
Yeah, picked off. Yep. The recovery is also important to note in the Girard goal.
Yep, 100%.
We've kind of beat around Nathan MacKinnon for most of this podcast because he is our king of the game.
Yep.
Which, a 3-point night for him. And you're starting to see, sure, even if it is weird stuff like the Mikko assist that he ends up getting credit for, he still comes through with a big goal at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And he's a dude that just looks like he's on another level this year. Yeah. I don't know how else to put it.
I've said it 1,000 times at this point. The pressure's off. The intensity's up. He looks like there was a huge weight of expectation lifted off of him, and now he's just playing.
Yep.
Well, now I think what you're seeing is that he's like he met that moment.
Yep.
And now he's chasing history.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what – and he won't look at it that way. He's just going to be like, one day at a time, AJ. But I think he's just going to be that guy that's so driven all the time that there is no – it's an insatiable hunger for success.
Some of those
and
days are
now
a lot
there's
easier.
No disappointment on right, – there's no like, I may never
shit.
Get this.
Yeah, there's no I haven't won shit
anymore. Those days are a lot easier when you already have one, right?
Yeah.
Like there's no, oh, I'm not going to get it again.
Yeah, it's he's going to go home and that gigantic Stanley Cup ring is still going to be sitting in that dope-ass box.
Yes, right. Exactly.
In his house. And he can always look at that and be like, sick.
Yep. So I'm pretty good, but we can move into anything specific you guys wanted to touch
super
on.
Super chats.
We do have a couple super chats. We can get to those.
I was say we hit on a lot of my specifics.
Yeah.
Yeah. The amazing Drew Lounsbury. I keep seeing your name wrong. You're doing this all playoffs long. You're a madman. $50. Finally able to catch a live show again. Keep up the awesome work as always. Much love, guys. Thank you so much, Drew.
Holy smokes.
And Kevin with the $2 chat saying, I don't know what to say, but they won. And that's all that counts at the end of the day, right?
Imagine if that was the pod.
Just, I don't know what to say, but they won. So, yeah.
But they won.
Bye.
Boom. Outro.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And look, regardless of the wackiness of the game, regardless of everything else, Avs are 2-1.
Yeah. They're 2-1, and they have a really weird schedule coming up.
Yep.
They get Winnipeg.
At home to
Wednesday, which, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they have another back-to-back Seattle-Vegas.
With travel again.
Yeah, and then they go on the road. And they won't be back.
They are on the East Coast for a week, and then they fly to Finland.
The second week of November.
Yep.
So.
It's going
to
be weird.
Yeah, and that's a long way. That's a long time to be away from home. So this is a low-key, like, hey, here's some chances to get a couple of wins, get some points. Like, we expect they'll win the division, but you still have to do it. Bank some points. Get some points.
Right.
You know, win some games here.
It's a lot easier to win the division when you start well instead of 4-5-1.
Yeah. You don't have to chase anything.
Yeah.
You could start from the front of the pack and then just spend the entire time just out in front. Clean air.
Yep. It's kind of like Max Verstappen. You
dude. Well, he never starts in. Charles always starts in front.
And then he blows
Max
it immediately.
Max overtakes him on the first turn, and then we're good for the rest of the race.
All right.
So, yeah.
Touched on you mostly. Megan,
no,
anything to add?
Good. No.
No? Good to go. All right. We're going to get out of here for the day. We appreciate all of you. We are off tomorrow, but we have a bunch of stuff on YouTube. If you haven't watched the 5-on-5 that Jesse and Megan did today, go check that out. A lot of kind of interview stuff behind the scenes for the Avs.
We need feedback on that one to see if we're going to make it a weekly. Yeah.
So check that out. We'll be back with the live shows on Wednesday, pregame, watch along, postgame, all that jazz. You know how it is. Until then, we'll talk to you later.